For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning. Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show. It's Friday, March 29th. It is minor league opening day as AAA ball kicks off today and the rest of the affiliates next weekend. We had a great first day of major league action of opening day stateside, and then we had a couple games over in Seoul, Korea prior, but fun stateside MLB opening day on Thursday. A lot of good action. A lot of fun stuff. Had some prospects do some things. Wyatt Langford getting intentionally walked, which is pretty cool. Prospect in his first career game. But that'll be another talk for another day. We have to finish two more MLB prospect farm systems. So we're going to dive in today on the Seattle Mariners, which are absolutely loaded top to bottom. Whew, this one's going to be a doozy, but it's going to be a lot of fun because the Mariners are absolutely loaded. Starting at the top with Colt Emerson. No player increased their stock more than Colt Emerson did last year. Come into the draft, and he was a first-round talent, and he fell to the Mariners later in the first round. He was 17 on draft day, and he absolutely showed out. He slashed 374, 496, 550 with two home runs and 10 doubles and 114 plate appearances. He had a really good data as a prep bat, and that all carried over to pro ball. He is nothing short of impressive. Looking at this profile, I look at a player that has really strong contact. I mean, he made contact at a rate north of 80% with an end zone contact rate of 86%. It is a very strong plate discipline profile too. Does not chase all that often, which is pretty notable. Yeah, 20% chase rate. So really good stuff there when we look at the idea that Colt Emerson is just solid across the board when it comes to contact, when it comes to chase. Those things are huge. So go a little deeper. Man, there's power. For a kid that just turned 18, dude has put up some really big EV numbers. His ninth percentile exit velocity was 105 miles an hour last year, and the average was 89. So the average EV was right at MLB average, and the ninth percentile EV was already north of MLB average. Emerson has actually become a quicker runner over time. He was successful on 8 of 8 stolen base attempts, and he clocked a 6.7 60-yard dash, which is a plus runtime. If all clicks, Emerson could be a plus hitter with above average or better power and speed. I look at Colt Emerson, and I think he could be the potential top prospect in all of baseball, if all clicks. This skill set is very, very intriguing. It's one that I'm pretty excited to follow closely this year. I think you should invest before it's too late. Cole Young comes in at second in the system for me. One of the safer hitters in all the minors. Very selective approach. Makes contact at a very high clip. Former first rounder in 2022. He has been stellar in his pro debut. And last season in 2023, Cole Young had 606 plate appearances across 126 games. He slashed 277, 399, 449 with 11 homers and 54 extra base hits. So we know the hit tool is the carrying tool with Cole Young. He made contact at a rate north of 80% while also being pretty selective, chasing just 15% of the time. The exit velocities are fine, but I will say that Cole Young entered this season in spring training looking a little bigger, looking like he might have a little more juice, which would be excellent if that were the case. I do think that Young's a more valuable real-life prospect than fantasy because the OBP skills are good. He's got a good glove in the field. I think the power right now for Cole Young profiles as a 15 home run type bat. But again, we're looking at a 20-year-old with potential for a lot more. From a speed standpoint, I think Cole Young could steal 15 bases a year. It's not the flashiest skill set, but it is one that is pretty intriguing. I think Young has really solid tools across the board, and he is a very safe player. So for that reason, you know, he checks in at this number two spot in the system because he has a high floor, but also just pretty solid across the board. Looking at Harry Ford, catcher, very athletic. Could he move off the position? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. He's athletic enough to do so. He was a former 12th overall pick in the 2021 draft. Since being drafted, he's hit. He's got on base at a high clip. He's grown into more power. He is a very solid player across the board. He is a bit undersized. I will say he is small, 5'10". He is kind of stocky, but he still moves pretty well, which is a lot of fun. He hits for power. The ninth percentile exit velocity last year was 103, which was very close to MLB average. He sprays line drives to all fields, which is why a lot of these balls have not turned into home runs. But he's pretty passive, swung at just 39% of pitches, which is well below average. But at the end of the day, he gets on base because he walks. He made contact at a minor league average rate of 73.5%. In over 241 professional games, he's stolen 50 bases, and he's been caught just 13 times. Whether Ford actually sticks behind the plate or not, still a question, but the skill set is one that'll play. Profiles as a high OBP bat with power and speed, so a lot of fun from that catcher position. Meanwhile, you kind of have the polar opposite player in Lazaro Montes, who is an absolute monster. You know, I don't think his list 6'3" is close at all. I think Montes is easily 6'5" or bigger, probably 250 at this point. He is a massive human being with a sweet left-handed swing, generates pretty easy power. Yeah, he dominated the DSL after signing as a 17-year-old in 2022, and he came stateside last year, spent equal time between the complex and single A, and he slashed 303, 440, 560 with 13 home runs. Power is the calling card for Lazaro Montes. He gets easy bat speed. He's registered up to 118-mile-an-hour home run, which is just absurd for an 18-year-old especially. Easy loft tennis swing. The home run power comes easily. Contact skills with a question mark. He does have some holes in his swing, and he's fairly aggressive, but ran a contact rate near 69% last year, which is fine. I mean, 70% is like a mark that I want to see hitters get to. But as the season wore on, he moved up to single A. He got more breaking balls. The swing rate ticked up, the chase rate ticked up, and the contact rate dropped to 65%. Pretty concerning mark, but again, young kid, think he'll be fine. He could move to first base long term, but wherever he is, the bat's going to play. The OBP skills are there. There's no speed to speak of, but this is a 30 home run bat with Lazaro Montes. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table this year, and I think it's going to be some pretty good stuff. Much like this next guy who I've been waiting to see for a while, and that's Felden Celston. Celston was the top international signee in the 2023 class. He unfortunately didn't see any game action last year due to a hamstring strain. He may have the most upside of any hitter in the system, more than Colt Emerson. He's grown from his listed 6'1 height. I think he's 6'3 at this point. He has a ton of projection, but he already flashes big power, high exit velocities. Yeah, I think the power is probably better from the right side at this point, but he has shown the ability to get to it from the left side as well. The contact skills are better from the right, leaving it easier to get to game power there. I like this profile a lot. He has a pretty aggressive swing. He takes some big hacks, but if all clicks for Felden Celston, this is going to be a potential above-average player across the board. I think there's plus power potential with solid run times, and there's just a lot to dream on from a fantasy perspective. So Felden Celston will be one that we're watching very closely this season and one that could really take off. And so I'm excited to watch and see what he might be able to do this year. Tyler Locklear, another player in the system that's moved up a ton. Locklear might just find his way into a debut this year. You know, the Mariners have Ty France at first base, but he hasn't been the most consistent player year over year. So when I look at this profile, I think Locklear could find his way in. You know, he was a second-round pick out of VCU in 2022. He was really good post-draft in 2022. Missed some time last year due to injury, but finished the year with a .288, .405, .502 slash between high A and double A. Did just have 375 plate appearances, but he hit 13 homers and he stole 12 bases. Locklear kind of has a funky pre-swing setup. A lot of bat waggle, a lot of hand movement. The timing has to be impeccable here, which worked out fine in college in his pro debut. But last year, as he moved up, he made contact on his 70% of pitches, which was actually a step down from what he did in 2022. The power is plus. Locklear posts, you know, really good exit velocities, his power to all fields. To the pool side, he hits some mammoth home runs. Doesn't chase often. He's going to play up well in an OBP league, but he is a first base only type. So there's some pressure on the bat to perform here with Tyler Locklear, but I think he can step up to the plate and perform. So I'm not overly worried about Locklear and how that all shakes out. This next guy couldn't be another one that's on the verge of a breakout. That's Johnny Farmello, who was a first rounder last year. You remember the Mariners had three first round picks, worked out getting Emerson, Johnny Farmello, and Ty Pete, who we'll also talk about in a minute. Farmello is an athletic frame, smooth swing from the left side of the plate, lightning fast, ran a 6'3", 60-yard dash as a prep player. Those are easy 70-grade numbers, and reports have said the speed has ticked up even more. Farmello has a really good eye at the plate. He can take a walk, and he rarely chases out of the zone. Farmello has handled all pitch types well as a prep player, which is pretty encouraging. Picks up spin well, the swing is balanced. He hits a lot of line drives, but this could be somebody that does get into 20 home run pop, given that he has an impressive frame, that he's already a good power and EV type, and he has good speed. So when I look at Farmello, man, this guy has the upside to be like a 2040 type, which is something to dream on. If that worked out, you would have to be thrilled to have Johnny Farmello on your team. And I'm trying to get him pretty much everywhere that I can, because I do think that the value is there. I really like what Farmello brings to the table. I don't think that he's valued like he should be at this point, but I do think that Farmello is one that could really pop off and break out, which would be a lot of fun. So let's keep going down the list. Jonathan Class A. Class A is a speedster. He has 181 career stolen bases in 313 pro games. This past year was no exception. He ran wild, stole 79 bases, caught just 15 times. The run times, of course, are really good on Class A. He showed an improvement on power, too. Hit 20 home runs between high A and double A last year. While I will say that high Everett's quite hitter-friendly, only three of his high A home runs came there. He did have four more in Spokane, which is also a hitter's paradise. He moved to Arkansas, which is a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly environment, but the Texas League in general is hitter-friendly. And I don't think that 20 home runs should be the expectation when we talk about Class A, but there is solid skills. He makes, you know, decent contact. There are some high chase rates at times, which is a little bit concerning, but the speed will always be the calling card with Jonathan Class A. So fun player, a lot to dream on. I would watch out and see what he does at the higher levels this year, as it could be a pretty interesting player. Ryan Bliss is another one where Bliss had a really good year. He's small, he's undersized. He hit 23 homers and stole 55 bases. There were just a couple players to go 20 home runs and 50 steals in the minors, and two of them were in this org between Class A and Bliss. He broke out in a major way. I mentioned the home runs and steals, but he slashed .304, .378, .524, which is really, really solid there. You know, looking at the surface numbers, you might think that Bliss could be a star in the making, but honestly, when I look at the profile, when I look at his frame, I'm not actually sure that that's the case. You know, he's played in hitter-friendly environments for most of his minor league career, and he did make the most of his opportunities. But the exit velocities are slightly below average, 86-mile-an-hour 9th percentile, and a 86-mile-an-hour average in a 90th percentile of 102, excuse me. That 9th percentile would be really, really bad. But yeah, you look at Bliss's profile, I think he may be a 12 to 15 home run bat, much different than the 23 hit last year, but I do think he could steal 30-plus. Like, I do think that is legit. At the end of the day, it's just, can he carve out an everyday role? And I'm not sure he can do that. We'll see. But right now, I'm not so sure that Bliss is an everyday player, more than a utility type. We'll see how it all works out. But at the end of the day, he is a fun player. And I think that he's somebody to keep a close eye out for this year. Should get some time in the majors. We'll see.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
But let's go back to some breakouts with Ty Pete. I mentioned younger guy, first round pick last year. Pete was 17-year-old on the day of the MLB draft, but very physically advanced at 6'3", 190. Beautiful swing from the left side. Pete produces plenty of power. He, in his debut, slashed 283, 349, 404 with two home runs and six stolen bases, but he did strike out at a 27.5% clip. Contact rates were around average, but Pete will need to show that he can make consistent contact as he moves up the system. I still think that's the case. I still think he can do so. He's so young. He will come together and be a fine player. The bat speed's plus, there's projectable power, there's speed. There's plenty of upside to dream on when it comes to Ty Pete. So I would keep a close eye on him, as I think he could be a really solid investment right now as one that could continue to move up boards. So Pete, one to watch out for, as is this guy. Emerson Hancock, I think, has become massively underrated at this point, and I think he's going to get a shot now to pitch pretty much every 5 days or 6 days. With some injuries in the system to Brian Wu, Hancock's ready. He's ready to step in. He made some improvements last year. You know, he was so touted coming out of Georgia. He was a very high draft pick, sixth overall in 2020. Was a very high floor arm with four pitches, strong command. But there's been a lot of durability issues. He's thrown more than 100 innings just once in a season. There's been shoulder issues. And we often see these pitchers struggle with those injuries throughout their career. And for Hancock, that's been the case. But it looks like that he's finally healthy. Looks like he's ready to go. The changeup is probably Hancock's best offering. Kind of plays as a screwball of sorts, sitting mid-80s. Nice depth and fade. Those are to both righty and lefties. We're looking at a fastball that sits 93. It's fine pitch. I mean, at times it plays better. The sinker plays better than the four-seam, in my opinion. It's got decent IVB separation and a lot of arm side run compared to the four-seamer. He'll throw a slider on occasion, sitting mid-80s. Shorter break. I'd love to see further development of that slider and give him something that plays better to the glove side, I think it'd be extremely useful for this arsenal. Hancock does limit hard contact, but he'll need to miss more bats, I think, to be a viable fantasy starter. But again, he's going to get the chance. We'll see what he can do. This is Aiden Smith, who I picked as my breakout for this system. You look at Aiden Smith, and I think he was one of the more underrated players in the draft, and he went in the fourth round. Jerry DePoto talked about this guy. He absolutely loves Aiden Smith. Smith was known for being the best prep players in Texas, which Texas produces some talent. So this, to me, speaks a lot of volume that he was considered one of the best prep guys in Texas. He makes high contact. He exhibits strong plate discipline. He's got a great frame at 6'3", 195. Easily generates power, but he doesn't put a lot of focus on that. He lets the power kind of come naturally to him. Swing is efficient. He can drive the ball to all fields. Smith is a good runner, looking at a 6'4", 60-yard dash last year, which is plus or better. There's a real chance that this guy can be a power and speed threat. I look at the exit velocities last year as a prep, 96th percentile for his class, which is fantastic. And the speed to go with it, this is the kind of player that I like to bet on. At one point last year, I called him this draft's Roman Anthony. It's not out of the possibility. Maybe he doesn't become a top 10 prospect, but Aiden Smith, very, very good player. Let's keep going down the list because there's so much talent to talk about here. Michael Arroyo, shortstop in the system, signed for $1.4 million back in 2022. He hit the ground running the DSL, looked primed to break out in 2023, and he spent 57 of his 61 games in single A Modesto. The results were fine, but maybe more is to come with Arroyo. I still think there's more in the tank here. He slashed just 255, 403, 400, had just 3 homers, 23 extra base hits. The contact was good. He showed a good approach, but I would like to see him tap into a little more power because he doesn't offer a lot of speed. He has kind of a smaller frame at 5'8" list. Might be a little bigger than that at this point, but you know, for fantasy purposes, I kind of wonder like what kind of profile this is. He may be a better real-life asset than fantasy, but we shall see. A couple other players to talk about. Cole Phillips, unfortunately, is having another Tommy John surgery. He was traded in the Jared Kelnick deal, and Phillips had really big stuff as a prep. He didn't pitch professionally yet because he had TJ. He was going to be a first-round pick if he had not had TJ because he was looking incredible as a Texas prep righty. Still think there's a lot of questions about what Cole Phillips can become, but the fact that he's set back again and having a second TJ at 20 years old, not good. That is very concerning for me. He's going to take a tumble in my rankings update because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to see a guy have this kind of issues so soon. But let's get back to an exciting player with a lot of upside, and that's Dal Joseph, who the Mariners signed this past season. He has a lot of upside. He may not be the flashiest player in the class like they've had in the past with Felton and Selston, but Joseph is one of the better athletes in the class. He's got a lean and projectable frame. He's reportedly clocked plus or better run times. He's tapped into more power as he's filled out the frame. You know, I think that this is the kind of profile that I like to bet on because he wasn't one of the big dollar bonuses, but there's all the skills here that I look at and say, okay, I think this guy just might do it. So I look at Joseph. It's a simple approach. He makes a lot of contact. He's still young, 16 years old at the time of signing, and I'm excited to see what Dal Joseph can do this year, likely starting in the DSL because he's so young for the class, but Joseph will be a fun one to keep an eye on. Talk about helium. Let's talk about Reed Van Scotter, who really got zero love outside of the Dynasty Dugout Discord. And if you were in there, you would know he's been talked about for quite some time, thanks to the hype train from the rookie Matt on the B-Side podcast. He's pushed Reed Van Scotter for a while and for good reason. Van Scotter has just performed. He just performs. Fifth rounder out of Coastal Carolina in 2022, a very high floor arm. He throws strikes at a high clip. He walked less than 6% of batters he faced last year. He pitched most of his time in High Everett, in which he had a 3.27 ERA, and he pitched 143 innings, which is, you know, I think awesome for a prospect. I look at those kind of things, and typically prospects that throw a lot of innings and go deep into starts typically have major league success. Vance Goddard stepped into spring training this year on the major league side, and he put up 6 scoreless innings, which is wild. He had 2 saves, which, you know, whatever, saves or whatever in spring training. But he had no walks in 6 innings, which, of course, he didn't. And he had a 52.5% strikeout rate. Just absurd stuff with Reed Vance Goddard. This stuff isn't all that absurd. The fastball sits low 90s, but he locates it well. It's hard to pick up from a tough arm slot. You look at this profile, and it's just a high command profile and one that I think could actually work out. You look and he throws a curveball with a beautiful two-plane type break. It's got a lot of downward action. It's got some sweeping action as well. You know, the sweeper does not show as much vertical, but it does have a lot of east-west movement. It's a firmer pitch. He throws a changeup that runs away from righties because Vance Goddard is a lefty, so obviously you like to see that. Those strikes at a very high clip, and he is one that I think might be an MLB starter. He is not flashy, but he's one that could get the job done, and I think that ultimately Vance Goddard is a lot of fun. So I look at this profile, maybe, just maybe, is he very underrated? Jeter Martinez is the next guy. He is my breakout pick in the system for pitchers. A 6'4" right-handed arm. He just turned 18. You know, young pitchers on the international market are really a dime a dozen. The Mariners found one in this big frame 6'4" righty. Jeter Martinez had a very good DSL. He had a 1.72 ERA across 47 innings with 55 strikeouts. Fastball is currently low 90s, but it touches 94 to 95. Which is pretty impressive for a player that was 17 last year at the time. Then you look at the secondaries. I mean, obviously he has projection, so you could think the fastball could tick up, but changeup's a very solid pitch. He throws a slider as well. I think that if these work, this could be a very, very fun arsenal. We'll see a lot more of him this year, stateside. We saw him pitch some in spring training in the spring breakout game. So Jeter Martinez might just pop off. He's got all the intangibles. He's got the arsenal. He's got the projectable frame. All right. I am certainly going to bet on Martinez and see what happens. A couple other names as we get a little bit deeper in the system. I want to bet on Walter Ford. Ford is a very fun arm that, honestly, I was a little lower on after he had debuted last year because the stuff had ticked back. He was drafted, he reclassified for one. Like, he was supposed to be in last summer's draft class. And he reclassified, so he was 17 at the time of draft. He didn't turn 18 until December of that year, and he just turned 19. So we saw him last year in the complex, and the results were fine. He had a 3.57 ERA in 22 2/3, but the arsenal was not what we expected. Like, the fastball had taken a tick back. But I will say, this spring, it's up. He's been working in a lab, and the stuff is back. So I look at Walter Ford, and I think Ford might just be somebody to invest in. I think that the stuff is there. I think that with this profile, you know, he may be one that really pops off. The pitch metrics were good. I mean, he was averaging 17 inches on the sweeper of sweeping action last year, sitting 84, throwing a splitter with good vertical and horizontal depth. So I think that Walter Ford, nicknamed the Vanilla Missile, might just be one that takes off this year. So watch out for him. The results could be there. So Ford, potential breakout. I could have picked him as well. Instead of Jeter Martinez, Hitting a couple other names real quick in the system, because man, the system is stacked, and I could probably talk about it for several hours if I wanted to go deeper. But I like Brock Rodden a little bit. He was an analytical darling in the draft last year, put up good numbers at Wichita State. Smaller frame at 5'9", but he hit 17 home runs in each of 2022 and 2023, and had a career collegiate slash of .355, .458, .677. Contact skills are good. 84% contact backed by a 92% zone contact. Chased just 24% of pitches out of the zone. The exit velocities were strong with metal. I mean, he had 91-mile-an-hour average EV and a 106-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. There's still questions about how the power will translate with Wood, but in his 34-game pro sample, .311, .366, .450, two home runs, and 15 extra base hits. Rodden is a versatile infielder who I think may just be somebody that flies under radars for far too long. As is this next guy, Jimmy Joyce, 16th rounder in the 2021 draft, but he's pitched at a high level ever since being drafted. He really broke out in 2023, fastball sitting 92 to 95, flat attack angle, vertical approach angle. It leads to a ton of arm side run. He boards it in on righties, runs it away from lefties. It's play similar to a two-seam, and he also mixes in a low 80s slider with a lot of sweeping action. Yeah, between high A, double A last year, a 2.57 ERA across 70 innings with 83 strikeouts and 20 walks. If Joyce ultimately can take the step forward, then I think he could be one that sees his stock soar in 2024. So I am very interested in Jimmy Joyce, as I am with a couple others in the system. Ben Williamson might be a sleeper in the draft. You know, he was at a non-Power 5 school, but he put up some really impressive numbers at William & Mary. Williamson hit 12 home runs last year, 2023, but it is a contact-driven approach. He had an 86% overall contact and a 92% zone contact. I will say, with metal bats, he looked like that he was much more than just a contact hitter, though, because we saw him put up some really good EVs, which included 107-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. Williamson is a type, though, that likely will see those numbers trend downward with Wood. I think the power's closer to average with a Wood bat, but still, when you get that kind of contact, when you get those kind of OBP skills, it's going to play. So I'd take a chance on Ben Williamson in a deeper league because he's absolutely not going to cost very much at all. Neither is this guy, Luis Suspel, S-U-I-S-B-E-L, Luis Suspel. Started in the DSL in 2021. It was a poor stint. He really wasn't much better in 2022, but in 2023, something clicked. Showed power skills, hit 12 home runs and 284 plate appearances, and slashed .291, .423, .529. He's a 6'1", 190 corner infielder with quick hands, a very explosive swing, a mature body, with a lot of muscle. So Suspel has questions about contact. I mean, he had some questionable contact rates, but the number did get better throughout the year. So we'll see what the year holds and how much contact Luis Suspel actually makes in 2024. Teddy McGraw is a fun arm. He missed all of the 2023 season with an elbow injury where he had to get an internal brace, and he had Tommy John in high school as well. You know, the arm talent's there, and if McGraw had pitched in 2024, or 2023, excuse me, he likely would have been drafted much higher. Fastball sits in the low to mid-90s, but he has really good stuff on it, has nice running action as a two-seamer, plays best at the bottom of the zone, induces weak contact. He throws a mid-80s sweeper in on lefties away from righties. It's a two-plane break pitch. Generates whiffs up in the zone, but he also chases out of the zone. Throws a upper 80s changeup as well. The arsenal's solid. He needs to prove health and command. So Teddy McGraw, if he can find that, then he could be a really fun type. We'd certainly be remiss if we didn't talk about Logan Evans, who has been all the buzz this offseason. Logan Evans looked really good this spring, and honestly, he had really good stuff in college, too. He didn't get as much love as you might think. He was a 12th rounder, four-year guy at Pittsburgh. And considering the collegiate career, like, this was a very good find by the Mariners. You know, he pitched at Penn State. He pitched at Pittsburgh. He was not ever overly impressive. I mean, he had a 8.35 ERA in his career. You know, in his draft year last year, he was not good either. 5.88 ERA. But there was stuff under the hood that the Mariners saw that they really liked. And he was one of the standouts this spring. We saw it in spring breakout. We had seen it with some on the backfields that had posted stuff. I think Josh Norris, J.J. Cooper actually was the one who had seen him out there. And the stuff was really good. I mean, he even debuted and was really good last year, pitching between the complex and single A ball. Got 15 innings, 15 Ks, and a 0.6 ERA. You know, the stuff has ticked up. He went from sitting low 90s in college to now sitting 95 to 97, and he touched 99. Kind of wild to see that progression. But Evans might just be somebody that takes a surge and is one of the best pitching prospects in the Mariners system. Evans said his goal was to hit 100 soon. Don't think he needs to because the stuff is there. The sweeper's good. He throws a, you know, curveball as well. I think that Logan Evans might just pop off. He has 6-pitch arsenal. The stuff is good. I don't know. I'm just watching this one very closely. There's a lot of buzz. There's a lot of hype. I typically kind of want to see a little bit more, but maybe you don't want to miss out on the Logan Evans boat. Get him potentially where you can because there is a lot of buzz right now surrounding Logan Evans. Couple other names to talk about that, yeah, might be pretty intriguing. We have Zach Deloach, who is kind of a older outfielder at this point, second rounder in 2020. I think Deloach is pretty underrated. The shine's kind of worn off a bit. You know, last year he hit 23 homers, 55 extra base hits, and slashed 286, 387, 481. You know, he's, you know, knocking on the door being a major league contributor. Solid exit velocities, low chase rates, you know. Contact is a bit concerning, but Deloach is probably a bit underrated. You have Michael Morales, a 20-year-old right-handed pitcher with decent stuff, who I think could take a step forward. A couple others, Ashton Izzy, 20-year-old right-handed pitcher. Starlin Aguilar, a 19-year-old infielder. And Blake Hunt, catcher, might be on the verge of contributing. And I don't want to forget Taylor Dollard, who has good stuff. Needs to stay healthy and on the mound, where he has potential to potentially be a major league arm. But the Mariners system is chock loaded with talent, as you can tell by this episode. I love a lot of these guys in the system, and they're guys that want to be on your radar. Enjoy minor league opening day today. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great day, and we'll catch you again later today as we break down the Texas Rangers farm system to wrap up our team-by-team prospect series.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.